our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is and that was and that is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, we continue our service by singing 448, and the fourth stanza. Yea, thou shalt make salvation now, that we may be revived again, receiving favor as thy own, as his own, in free remission of our sin. The fourth of 448. Holy Scriptures can be found in the first epistle general of Peter, the first chapter, 1 Peter 1, before the 12 articles and after that the Lord's Day 14.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Lord's Day 14, question 35. What is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Answer, that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Question 36. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Answer, that he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. We have heard, Lord. We have heard thou hast said to believe. We have heard it so many a time already. But do we believe in that gift of faith is of thee, and therefore we draw nigh unto thee, that thou mightest grant us this wonderful gift to trust. As a sinner lost in Christ and his righteousness, to cover us in the sight of thee. Ah, Lord, that it doesn't be a doctrine or a kind of school teaching, but that we might, by experience, know these things out of thy doctrines taught in the inward man by thy Spirit, that we might see the fruits thereof in our lives, to be covered by thee in thy sight. Remember all those who suffer in the world, for the world is a valley of hatred, of death and tears. But in this valley is a valley of hope, the valley of hope. But thou art entering into our deep misery to take it upon thee, to change, to give what we don't have, and to take what we don't want to miss, to rub away from us our sins, and to grant us thy Son and eternal righteousness. O Lord, I pray that thy Spirit might teach us, please, on the pulpit and in the pews, and the young and the old, those who are near to pass by and pass away, and those who have to travel a bit longer for their eternal destination, dark or light, sun or uttermost darkness. Be with us, Lord, open the scriptures unto us. Be with those who are persecuted in the world. Thy church will be persecuted. It's the way to heaven, to go through many tribulations for thy sake. that we won't think it for our sake. That's too much mentioned. But we suffer all for thy name's sake, if we suffer. Thou art suffering. And in thy church, thou art suffering. And therefore thou hast said to Paul, or Saul, on the way to Damascus, why do you persecute the church now? Persecute me. And we might be on that side still, of hatred, persecuting thy Son. O Lord Jesus, shine upon us once more. Have mercy upon the sick and afflicted, those who are in wards, institutions, old age homes, or still at home, not able to come to church for what kind of reason, but make them a home church. And while they are reached by external means, bless the means thereunto. Remember those who suffer injuries and the family of the killed. The world rages, but thou art still coming. Make an end to the wars. And there will be an everlasting peace, a new heaven and a new earth, in which lives righteousness. Ah, Lord, the devil says, ah, that won't happen. And our flesh is even saying, how can it be? But one thing is sure, thy word lasts forever. And we can rest in it. Whereas otherwise is no rest. Have mercy upon us and our children, grandchildren. Bless the blessings, bless those who bless in preaching the gospel in Montreal today, or in the United States, or in Africa, China. Everywhere thou hast sent thy missionaries. Lord, and if thou send missionaries, they will be fruitful. Thou wilt never send them in vain. Never send them in vain. Although if its own work, it will be in vain. But if we might be an instrument in thy hands, in thy spirit, by thy spirit, it will be blessed in due time. We'll see the fruits of it. For it's thy work, it's thy vineyard, it's thy vine, it's thy Son, it's his fruits. To thy honor, for grace sake only. Amen. Congregation, Lord's Day 9. Speaks about the Father of the Son. So first, the Bible speaks about the Father of the Son. And then in Lord's Day 14, the Bible and the confession speaks about the Son of the Father. The Father has a Son. And the Son has a Father from eternity. God out of God, light out of light. True God out of true God. But you see the double relationship. It's first the Father unto the Son, and then the Son unto the Father. And I've told you that Lord's Day, you might have remembered it and remember it still, that congregation, there is an imminent salvation in God. What's imminent? The Father gave birth to his Son. Not extra, outside of God, but inside of God. Think about it. We always gave birth outside of man. But God the Father gave birth inside of himself. And the Holy Spirit is going out inside of God from the Father and the Son. Why I say this is that in the triune God is an eternal love. God doesn't need us. He in himself is love. He doesn't need us. But he created someone or a man, Adam and Eve, outside of himself to glorify himself. That's his will. God doesn't need us. And how is God glorified? In the state of innocence, by our being and doing. But in and since the fall, only by grace. Only by grace is God glorified. Only in Christ and the church in Christ is God glorified. Secondly, in the state of righteousness, and you might differ with me, but it doesn't matter. When John in the first chapter said that he was, and I've said it this morning, the light in life of man, he speaks about the state of innocence. When God created the man before the fall. And I said it this morning, our light and life was in God. He is our light and life. Therefore the man is created in. Oh yeah, boy, good, come in. It's hard, a heavy door, isn't it? We are created in the image. So in the relationship with God is our salvation, is our glory, is our light and is our life. God is our light and life. And congregation, that's important. We have no life outside of God. Then we are in death. What I mean is that in the state of righteousness, I believe, Adam and Eve were united with the triune God in the second person of the Trinity. He was playing with the sons of man. It was his pleasure. And therefore I believe the Father sent him to be man, to save them whom he loved, given by the Father. In congregation, that happened first in the promise. God always first promises before he does. That you might believe. Even in the Old Testament, they were believing that he would come. Elizabeth, Hannah, they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. They believed in him, in the word about him. And were both Elizabeth and Zacharias righteous before God by faith in his son promised to the church. Now, since fall in paradise, another question. Why did God allow the fall? He didn't purpose the fall. But he allowed it. He could have prevented it, isn't it? Could he? He wouldn't. But God is free. Some of our fathers had said, if Adam wasn't fallen, Christ wasn't born. Is that reasoning? Can we enter in that sanctuary with our reasoning? But one thing I know. In the state of righteousness, God was glorified in his goodness. And we served God, says the confession, out of God. We couldn't even move our thumb without him moving us. In the state of righteousness. But congregation, God wanted to reveal his mercy. And there I stop. Now I don't reason anymore. God wanted to be glorified by grace alone in his Son. Now, Pastor, are you making God the origin of sin? No, I'm not. I make God the origin of grace. That's it. That stops it. Grace through righteousness. Congregation, in this Lord's Day 14, it deals with man since fall. First the birth of Christ out of the Father. But then God became man. And think about it, in Nicaea 325, in Chalcedon 425, around, the doctrines concerning the two natures of Christ was established in the church. Not everyone understood it in the first ages. The doctrine of the two natures of Christ was established in Nicaea and Chalcedon, I think 416, but the church wrestled with it. How is that secret? One divine person and two natures. They were listening to the scriptures and all kinds of ideas were ventilated. In the first ages of Christianity, all kinds of heretics. He says, there is the Spirit of God, says John, working in his people who believe that Christ came into the flesh, that his divine person was accepting or receiving my human nature. There has been wrestled with it. What's the human nature? Now I'll come to it. But you will say to me, Pastor, why are you so difficult? I'm not so difficult. It's a mystery. And I can just go by the outward circles, knowing a little bit. As God has revealed to us. No more and no less. We enter into the sanctuary. And we should take our shoes from our feet. If we speak about the birth of the second person of the Trinity. And why and how he became man. United with the human nature of man. In the divine person. Should I stop preaching? Probably I should. Just adoring. Just glorifying. Just being dumb. Staring at the holiness and majesty of God triune. But we go by the revelation that we might have a spiritual knowledge of the things that are taught in this Lord's Day 14. But let's first sing 357, 1 through 4. 357, 1 through 4. when Zion in a low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, and what's following, 1 through 4, 357. the eternal Son of God. That's where the Catechism answers the question, what is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. And then the answer is immediately that God's eternal Son of God. He is born of the Father, but the Father has never been without a Son. Listen again. He is born of the Father, but the Father has never been without a Son. The Trinity is not grown, but the Trinity is. Jehovah means I am that I am. So although the Son is born of the Father, his eternal state is born, but he has never been without his Father, and the Father has never been without the Son. Can you understand it? No, I can't. Should I preach it? Yeah, I should preach it. My mind is too small. My education is foolishness, and what can I say? Just answer the Scriptures. So the eternal Son of God. The Son is born in God. I dealt with it some weeks ago. The Son is not born outside of the Father and outside of the Spirit. It's immanent. It's in God. Can you explain it? No, I can. It's a sanctuary, and my shoes should be of my feet. Therefore, in 417, I think, Chalcedon, and 325, for the first time in Nicaea, they started to confess these truths. Where it says, begotten of the Father, before all the world, the Aeon, before time and history. No one was present. God reveals himself as such. God of God. Can you understand it? God of God. Light of light. Can you understand it? I am a fool and know nothing. Rest on his revelation. Very God of very God, true God. Begotten, not created, not made. Born. The Father gave birth in himself to his Son. Can you explain it? No, I can't. My first begotten Son, says he, whom I love. There is in God, between the three persons of the Trinity, an eternal love. Existential. God is love. Not only love by appearance, but in exercise. God is love. The Father loved his Son, his only begotten one whom he loved. And the Son loves his Father. There he comes for to do the will of his Father. Of love. And the love of the Holy Spirit embraces both, or is both love. Three in one. Being of the one and the same substance, the essence, God is. The Son is not different than the Father, in essence, in being. Difficult, young people, Monday night, or the Lord's willing, Tuesday night, we talk about it again. God is God. And the Son is not of a different being essence than the Father, nor the Holy Spirit. Can you explain it? I can't. My brains are short. But faith embraces it. And I tell you this. Hereby we know, and therefore it's important, the Spirit of God, or not the Spirit of God, but hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. If you don't believe he is born of the Father and came in the flesh, you're not of the Spirit of God. You're of an evil spirit. So he came in the flesh. In congregation, that's... Now let's start at the beginning. We want to be God. And do you know what some believe? That God the Son became man, or a man God, or a God man. In Philippians 2:17, it says that he emptied himself to become a servant. And Apollinaris was an heretic, and he believed that God became man. He didn't believe that God was God and stayed God to be everlastingly, and that he took upon him the human nature. He believed God became man. Do you know why he wanted to believe it? That man should be God. A God-man, or a man-God. We use sometimes the doctrines of the devil to teach the lies. Now I go to the Anabaptists. Those who baptized again because they said the sprinkling of the water upon the infants is worthless. They call them the Anabaptists. Do you know what they believed? They believed that he didn't take upon himself the true human nature. He took upon him a special body. We call it docetism. A seemingly body out of heaven. And I've even heard some ministers saying it, that through a dirty channel, God brought a holy body. No, he took upon him flesh and blood of Mary. Real man. God did it. His Son did it. Doing the will of his Father. And he took upon it him, that human nature, by the work, the operations of the Holy Ghost. First God. Still God. That God's eternal Son, who is and continued true and eternal God. I said this morning, and I'm not going again into the details, but he united himself with our human nature. And I've said this morning, and remember it and keep it in mind, that the life of the human nature, the second Adam, was God. An unbreakable union in the divine person of the second person of the Trinity. That couldn't be broken. The human nature of Christ had the light and the life in his divine nature. And it is unbreakable. He took upon him our human nature. Pastor, you're way too difficult. Sorry. I shouldn't even say sorry. ask the Lord to teach you these things. They are way too important not to believe it. So he became man. How? Listen, Adam was created as an adult, isn't it? No? Yeah, he was. But Christ was conceived. From sin's fallen paradise, our evil nature is from its first beginning evil. Our body is an instrument of the darkness by our fallen soul. Now, it's important to teach these things because in the Roman Catholic Church, yeah, Pastor, now you're swinging around, but let me be. In the Catholic Church, they believe that the soul is entering the body 6 weeks after birth. Therefore, they even allow within 6 weeks abortion. Catholics allow within 6 weeks abortion because they say they don't have a soul. The soul is entering into the body the 6 week after concealment. But the Bible doesn't teach it. Thou hast seen my unformed lump. The moment an egg cell and a man cell, let's say, are joined together alive, there is a soul. For soul and body are inseparable. Some people say, ah, my dear child, it's 5 weeks and it passes away. No, that child had a soul. And is a soul, has a body. Now our soul is depraved from the moment we are born, no, conceived. Evil doesn't come by years, evil is there from the beginning. And Christ had to be the second Adam from the moment of conceivement to cover. I'll come to it. The born in the dead in the womb, elected by God. And I'm not saying all the dead in the womb are elected by God. I don't know. God knows. But I believe there will be children dying in the womb, dead in the womb, praising God. And I know them, son. So, we are conceived in sin. But Christ was conceived, first God. He took upon him the first beginning of the human nature, even in the womb. And now I understand why Mary was singing. She laid her hands on her womb and said, I rejoice in God my Savior, she said. Do you understand me? Christ in Mary was covering Mary. She was Mary the sinner and a covered sinner. Yeah, she got grace, says the Bible. And she glorified in her Savior. Not to be her Savior, not to become her Savior, but to be her Savior. Now he took upon him body and soul. And there were heretics in the early church. They said, yeah, the human body, all right. But the soul was replaced by his divine nature. So he had a human body and a divine soul. No! He had a human body and a human soul. True man. Soul and body. My soul is grieved unto death, he said. He speaks about his soul. Congregation, I'm not going into it, but I say some about it. We are a soul and have a body. For the Bible, Jesus says himself, the Lord Jesus says himself, fear him who can put your body and soul in hell. We have a soul. We have a body. We can lay aside our bodies. When we die, we lay aside our bodies and our souls are going into everlasting glory until the day of the return of Christ. And the body and soul will be gathered together and praising him eternally. So Christ was human, real human, body and soul. Soul and body. And he took upon him. How? He took it upon him by the Holy Ghost out of the Virgin Mary. Real. No docetism. The Anabaptists say he took a holy body out of heaven and it went through a dirty channel. Do you know, I've heard old Reformed pastors saying it. And I tell you this, they were just heretics saying it. He took our weak human body and the death and weakness, sorrow and groaning, trying. He is tempted as we, but without sin. Now that's what he took upon him. And again, can you tell me how? I can't. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, will overshadow you, and you will conceive that Holy One that will be born out of you. How? Mary said, how can it be? I have no man, no husband. No, the Holy Ghost, God is his Father. And he will be also, according to his human nature, born of God by the Holy Ghost. Now, why is that important? Now, I go back to the docetists. I always talk to the Mennonites sometimes, and I want to know their doctrines, if they're really evangelical or just docetist heretics. But why did he need to be true man, soul and body, without sin? And that's important in this whole question and answer. To be my substitute. If he wasn't truly a man, he couldn't be my substitute. He wasn't the second Adam without sin. So the whole doctrine of justification by faith in Christ alone would vanish. And I tell you this, many of the Mennonites don't teach the doctrine of the justification by faith, substitutionary. You know what they teach? Cloth. But they make Christ as the liberals examples to follow after. If in a church, and it might not be, and I'm not accusing only the Mennonites. I'm not. I know there are Christians. I've met them. But their original doctrine was as is, as I say. I've read the catechisms. As to why are you reading it? I believe there are Christians. I was once in Indiana down I don't notice that. And I met a man and I talked to him. He said, I am a sinner saved by grace. And we loved each other so much. He said, I had a substitute. Don't look to me, I'm not. He says, my God is my Savior. And we cried both. So I'm not accusing, but originally that's it. So they follow after. He is an example. In congregation, now, if he is my substitute, how is he my substitute? Well, let's for a good continue here. He was accepted, who took upon him the human nature by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he also might be the true seed of David. Now, not only the true seed of David, also the true seed of the woman, true seed of Abram, and true seed of David. Why is it said here? So he was promised, and it was a sign that he is the Messiah. You can trust the word. The broken trunk of Jesse brought forth a branch, cut off a new life in him. He was the seed of David. And he is like unto his brethren in all things except sin. He tried like us, but didn't fall. Do you know, I always think what happened when the Holy Spirit, as a dove, was resting upon the Son. What did the Spirit do the first? He brought him in the desert to be tried. He says, now I have a hero, devil, and he will crush your head. Devil, now I have here my Son, and you won't overcome him. He will overcome you. He brought him, as it were, again in the presence of the devil. And the devil tried him 3 times, and I'm not going into trials. But at last the angels ministered to him. He overcame devil, sin, and death. Without sin, but tempted, real tempted. Therefore our high priest can have compassion with you when you are tempted and you fall. When you are tempted, you fall in sin. He can have compassion. You know, he says, Father, I pray, Peter, that his face wouldn't fail him. He stood, and I fell. And do you know what he does? He takes the fallen sinner, bringing him to God in peace. So out, except sin. Out, he had no sin. That's a wonder, that Christ had no sin. I said this morning because the human nature and the divine nature are united in one person. I go into it not more, but I try to do it this morning. God had one man. Not sinning. That's not you. That's not me. That's no one. That's his dear son. I understand. When Christ was born, conceived even, but especially when he was born, the angel was singing glory to God. God had his creation back. God cared for his own creation in Christ. And the angels were singing. God had his image back in with wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and by obeying the ceremonial law, total redemption. God created, gave His Son the human nature by the Spirit. God got His Adam back, dear, and you're not it. But did Adam, who's the head of the church, and those engrafted in him are members of his church. Is it difficult? Sorry. I shouldn't even, sorry. You should ask the Lord to teach you these things. We live in a time and age that if you really teach biblical truth, it seems to be a strange language. I always think about the early church when those letters of Paul were read in the Bible. They had no sermon about it. They were reading them and they understood the truth. Later on, they had to explain it because the knowledge was vanishing. But in the first receiving of the letters, they understood what they were reading in Cappadocia, and they were reading in Ephesus, and they were reading in Rome, and they were reading the letters in the sermon in the congregation, and by the grace of God they understood it. The children of God understood it. It should be distinguished in the things. So he is the true seed of Adam, of David, and likened to his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Let's first sing again. 255, 3 and 4. 255, 3 and 4. Where we will sing together. 255, 3 and 4. To the Lord such mighty feeling, let us come with reverence deep, meet. And before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at His feet. That's 3 and 4. That's the only answer to the revelation of God in Christ. 255, 3 and 4. Next question. Our prophet, the catechism is always a comforting book, Always asking what prophet is there for you in this doctrine, in this Christ becoming a man. What prophet is thou received by Christ's holy conception and nativity? And now listen carefully. He is our mediator. He doesn't do mediator work, that does he too, but he is it. He is my salvation, dear. All he is my mediator, says faith. Unbelieving doesn't say it. Congregation, we always have to look to ourselves, let's say. We are created. We are. And only a good tree can bring forth good fruit. An evil tree can't. First you have to be a good tree before you can bear good fruit. Now first to be, then to do. And then to pay. Three things. An evil man can't obey law. He can't. It's weak by his flesh, the law. You have to be a new creature. Yeah, but Pastor, you always say it's by grace. Yeah, but listen, you're already judging me. Stop it. It's by grace. But there was a minister in Holland, Reverend Hoffman. And Reverend Hoffman, when he preached, he said, "Do you know what salvation is this?" And he put up his fist and he says, "Christ is covering me. That's my salvation. More I haven't." Me, sinner, covered by a righteous, holy mediator, being between me and my judge. God and man. First God and man, but also man and God. It's the ladder from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven, isn't it? And all he is mediator between two warring sides. God and man. God and man. His person is mediator. God and man. For in Christ you're in God. Mediating. Therefore he says, who believes in me has eternal life. And what's eternal life? Knowing the Father and the Son through the Holy Ghost. His eyes are mediating eyes. Have you ever seen his eyes looking upon you in severe judgment, but also in loving care? Have you seen his eyes? I have seen his eyes. Have you ever laid in his arms when he embraced you and kissed you with everlasting kisses? Have you hear his feet walking to you? Gospel feet coming and say, "Here I am. Here I am, my beloved. And you're mine. I found you on the dunghill. Of your own trespasses and judgment." He is mediator. You have people who do the work of a mediator, but they are not a mediator. He is mediator, therefore he mediates. can do different. And with his innocence, it never sinned nor done any evil. He was in the state of innocence with original righteousness conformed to the law of his Father in eternal love and peace. Innocence. And it's testified in the Bible. He says, who can convince me of sin? No one could. Pilate said it. Agrippa said he should be released. I don't find anything that's against the law. We have a witness of it. A lamb, pure and holy, innocent, not guilty, having no trespasses, being conformed to the law. Being conformed to the law, not doing according to the law, but being according to the law. That's the difference. You might try to do according to the law, but just being a hypocrite, you have to be conformed to the law. Innocent. And the slightest sin condemns you to hell. No, don't preach like it, Pastor. Oh, you don't want to be warned, you'll see it. You'll find out on the day of judgment. But how is he mediating? In perfect holiness, separated from all sinners. He is made of God unto us. He is made of God unto us. Righteousness, holiness, wisdom, and total redemption. Conformed to the law, but as an innocent dying instead of his people, bringing redemption to the souls of his people. And do you know what's in my heart now? Oh, beloved Savior, I should talk more about thee. What an emptiness if I don't talk about thee and seeing thy beauty. Oh, he is so beautiful there. It's so ready to mediate between you and your judge. Why do you deny him so long? Is there a reason? Why do you prick? Why do you beat against the pricks with your heels? Pastor, I can't believe. Ask for it. And even if you don't want to believe, ask still for it. And then a wonderful word, covers. Covers in Hebrew is kafar. Do you know what's grace? He covers me. Kafar. You know the story, and I'm not going into details again, but you know this. The parable of the publican. Now the publican says, have mercy upon me, the sinner. But you should read the Bible and know what he says there. He says, be a cover for me. Eilasmos. A cover. Some have said to me, Psalm 32, my sins are forgiven and my unrighteousness are covered. And they say they are two things. No, they are one thing. When God forgives you, he does it in the way of covering. And he covers you with two things. With the holy, perfect nature of Christ, as if I have never sinned. He covers me with the Lord Jesus. In his sight. But he covers me also with his blood. For the cover on the ark was gold and blood. And the word hilasmos is cover, kafar. God covers me from judgment in Christ. He is my covering. He mediates. He stands between me and my judge. He says, Father, I pray, let him go. Let me be cursed, let him be blessed. Why? For the glory of grace and the glory of God. No betterment. No betterment. I believe the more you're a Christian, the more guilty you are. You're not only sinning against the holy law that shivers you, but now you're starting to sin against that holy love that condemns you to death. But he covers me. He says, Father, don't look to that old rotten pastor there, but look to me, for I'm covering him. Are you an old rotten pastor? Yeah, that I am. And you too. But you don't want to be, hey, you want to be a good man, hey, yeah. But you need to be a new man. And everyone that is in Christ is a new man. Hoffman is right, that old Reformed pastor, is he dumb? You've heard him probably. He was in that circle. And Hoffman said, do you know what's my salvation? Christ is covering me. And God is not looking to me anymore, but to his Son. In his innocence, perfect holiness, and gracious wisdom. And do you know, even if there is an Abel in the womb, dying, God covers him. After he was conceived. God doesn't look to me anymore, for in Christ he doesn't see any sin nor evil nor trespass. And that matters. It doesn't matter how I look to myself, rotten sinner. But it matters in my life how God in Christ looks to me. And I can bring those two things together. That's faith. That's an impossibility. How can you believe that as a trespasser, you're still righteous, and as a liar, you're truth. And as a rotten sinner, you're a new man in Christ, as if you had never sinned or done any evil. Now, that's faith. They say it's easy to believe. I tell you this, it's an impossibility to believe that. Do you know, it's easy to believe this, I mean, if you have no convictions, then it's easy. Do you know how they call it? Temple faith, receiving it with joy, but never really convicted. But if you're really convicted, it's impossible to believe unless God grants you that faith and reveals his Son to your soul. And I'm not changing it. And I never will. God hope. Oh, I'm too bold. If God let me go, I will change it. Now I said too much. Lord, forgive me. But I hope that I will never change these things. Congregation, then you all could be converted in your rottenness and lies and evil sins, covered by the Lord Jesus. For those who are in Christ, you know when you're covered. You will know when you're covered. Do you know what the Father says? I love you, my faithful servant. You have never done any evil. Oh, no, man. You are a holy one in the crib of Bethlehem. See, you don't know what it is covering. And you don't know its grace. You want to be a better man And you're a liar to yourself because you got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the more you're under the law, the worse you got. And if you're under a law preaching, you're getting worse, 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 because you're anti the law. You don't want. But if you're under the fulfilled work of Christ, the mediator, God says, you're mine. I take your sin, and you my righteousness. And I don't see any sin in you anymore. You know. All the liberals say that you have to follow the example. But they don't know about substitution or justification by faith. Poorly people, poor people. Oh, poor people. Rome is full of it. And all the Reformed churches today are again full of it. Full of it. Liars are they. While Christ only is my righteousness before God, to him be the glory forever and ever. And when I come on my deathbed, do you think that I can say, I did thee, I preached 40 years to the God? No! Every sermon will attack me! Every prayer will condemn me! But if he covers me, God says, come, faithful servant. Faithful servant. Lord, for you have, Lord, the works of Christ, the mediator, the person of the mediator, is covering my old rotten Adam. And in him, therefore in the Bible you always read, in him, I'm a new creature. Congregation, young people, you got to get it all. My dear, there in the back. You need to be covered with the Lord Jesus. Then the judge will say, oh my child, you're perfect. I have nothing against you. For you have a mediator standing between. There's an old father, he said, when I on my deathbed, and I'll cry to Jesus, stand between me and the judge. And let the judge see thy faith. And let me see his faith. Everlastingly. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I should kneel. And I shouldn't scream. But there was a minister in the United States, and he screamed loudly into heaven and to the ears, and I heard him covering. But we all want to be fit for it, and I said, you don't to be fit, and you can't be fit for it. You're really unfit, but I'm fit for you. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. Please, gather this flock. Oh, Lord, that no one should be left behind. Oh, Lord, not our little children. I see them sitting here. Please. Please, Lord, make yourself known to them. First known to themselves. And then known in today. Make us a blessing and not a hindrance in preaching and praying, in walk and doctrine. Fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, business owners and business workers, poor and rich, and they will gather from east and west, north and south, and lay with rest with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the New Jerusalem, resting forever, resting forever, resting in thy presence. Amen. Let's sing lastly 451 and 2. 451 and 2. it's Simeon. No, yeah, that's wonderful. 451 and 2. The Song of Simeon. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.